What is up, guys? Ted West here for the Big V podcast. To my right, the general manager of Leagues and Competitions, Greg Jeffers. How are you, mate?
Wonderful, mate. Exciting time of year. Lots of good games going on.
Absolutely. We had six insane games over the weekend, which we'll touch on just in a moment. But we've got Div 1 and Div 2 grand finals this weekend. We got a doubleheader for Championship Men and Women with our grand finals for Championship Men and Women next week at Dandenong Stadium. I'm excited. This is the time of the year where the best teams, the best players, the best coaches, the crowds are pumping. It's the biggest time.
I think it was four out of the six grand finals on the weekend were sellouts. From what I'm hearing, we've got four sellouts for all four grand finals this weekend.
Yeah.
And we've got a championship men's and women's doubleheader where it's up in the air as to who's going to be there.
But, it is up in the air.
It is an exciting. This is the time of year we're all involved for.
100%. 100%. Well, we had six youth league grand finals occur over the weekend. Five of them on the Saturday night. One on the Sunday. So it was packed everywhere across Melbourne, across Victoria. And we'll get stuck into it straight away. We had Victorian Youth Championship men, Sandringham defeating Kilsyth on the road, 86-69. Ned Dillon walking away with the MVP. I believe he came off the bench, Greg.
That's
an MVP off the bench.
It's very a good way to improve the bench points stats, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, Joel Foxwell, who walked away as the leading scorer with 27 points for the game, but from talking to a number of people, I think Ned Dillon was just incredibly influential in his minutes on court, which was fantastic for him.
Well done to Ned. I think it's Frankston, some time at Eltham, some time there at Sandringham. He's finding his way into the NBL 1 level as well, getting some time with Sandringham there. So, no, congratulations, Ned, and congratulations to the Sabres. And, yeah, shout out to Kilsyth. We said it last week. It's over the last, I'm going to say, 10 years. They've been in that final four area six or seven times out of 10 years. So, tremendous effort from the Cobras, but well done to the Sabres.
Absolutely. We had VYC Women, the game on Sunday at MSAC, and it was the Dandenong Rangers who got up 65-75 over the Tigers. Georgia Taylor with the MVP for that one.
And it shows you just how quickly things change in youth. I think from memory, Dandenong last year was sixth on the ladder in their conference in 2023. Keeping in mind there's two conferences, so they're sitting at about 12th out of the 16 teams last year to bounce back and win the championship this year. Huge turnaround. Congratulations to Dandenong, and Melbourne will reload and go again next year as they've done for a few years in a row now.
100%. Youth League 1 men, it was Hume City who got over the line 95-76 on the road against Geelong United. Hume City going back to back.
It's not often you say it's the first thing I thought. I know
back
that
to back.
I know there was comments made when youth qualification happened out of the Hume City camp that they're the only team that won a championship and didn't get promotion. But this is what it was all about. And Hume City, I think majority of the season, was sitting in that third, fourth, fifth type range, if my memory serves me correctly.
Yep.
And they've come good at the right time of year. Now, again, they'll go through the youth qualification process, but I'd argue they're probably better positioned.
I think so.
On the back of this championship, they're better positioned for next year than probably what they were at the start of this year to get that promotion.
Yeah, 100%. They had some guys that were older and weren't age eligible for the youth qualification series, which definitely helped them over line in 2023 in that grand final. But no, they've got some young pieces here. They've got Zach McKenzie, who's been influential in this not only youth league team but championship men's Hume City team. So he'll be there. Ben Galea, I'm sure, will be there. Elijah, I'm sure, will be there again. So no, I do agree. I think they've got a better chance in this 2024-2025.
And congratulations to Geelong in making this step. They were fifth finishing the ladder last year, got themselves into the final four, knocked out in that semi-final, I think, by a bit in the end, like if my memory serves me correctly, hosting the grand final this year. They'll get another crack at going to youth championship at the start of this year. And again, probably better placed to do so.
Yeah.
So congratulations to Luke and the Geelong United side.
Absolutely. Youth League 1 women, it was McKinnon who defeated Pakenham 101-71. Now, I was at this game and it was phenomenal.
I heard the commentary was exceptional on this matchup.
I heard this as well.
Yep.
I heard this as well. Some amazing looking man with the face of broadcasting. absolutely killed it from what I heard. I don't know who it was, but anywho, McKinnon absolutely dominated this game. They shot the lights out. They were high 40s. I think they almost cracked 50% from the land of plenty. They were absolutely dominant, and congratulations to the McKinnon girls.
Yeah, tough to beat a team that comes in with and shoots the way they did.
Yeah.
The sole victor that was playing at home, of the six grand finals we had, McKinnon were the only home team to win a championship.
The only one.
So for all the things we hear about, and I say we from a basketball perspective and this home court advantage and everything that goes on, things are looking a little ominous for our four home teams this weekend. 100%. If one out of six is the strike rate so far.
It's crazy. Absolutely crazy.
Send me away from home, coach.
Daisy with the MVP. She led all scorers with 28 points for the game. Kayla Welsh was a leading rebounder, the captain, 14 points. Her and Coach Peter Cotteri shared an amazing moment as they both got their rings. I think it's been a long struggle for the two of them, so amazing to see them finally get to a grand final game.
I have to admit, McKinnon's one that has slowly progressed up the youth one ladder year after year. This isn't just recruit and we've got there, or an amazing group and suddenly we've got there. It's it has been, I remember seeing them middle to lower end and getting out of relegation area only 3-4 years ago, and it's just been a steady build up the ladder for McKinnon. So congratulations to the association. They've done it the right way and set themselves up for a good crack next year and the years ahead.
100%. Now, Youth League 2 men. This was a game that we were probably, I don't want to say we were assuming, but it was a 24-0 team versus a team who had just entered for the very first time.
I don't want to refer to jinxes, Ted, but you've made some comments on it last week that I'm going to call you out on today. And one of them relates, the first one is Pakenham. Now, we have both talked up the Pakenham Association and what a fantastic 2024 they've had.
Yeah.
Not a great weekend, it's fair to say, the third week of August for the Pakenham Association. But you sat here last week and this was a sure thing for you. They were home and hosed.
I don't think I would have been the only one to have said that, though. You're throwing me under the bus, but I think you're throwing a lot of people under the bus there, too.
Probably. I want to give a shout-out, though. The Westgate Association, 12 months ago, we were sitting here iffing and ahhing about Westgate being in the competition.
Yeah.
A lot of things they needed to get right within their stadium, and even 2 years ago, we started having a chat with Westgate about bits and pieces to get in place. They've had some challenges this year, even during season, that we touched on briefly last week. But Westgate, first year in, first ever representation at Big V level, and to win a championship in Youth League 2 men, fantastic start. Congratulations to the full Westgate Association. There's been a lot of effort to make this happen and has certainly set up a platform for success for Westgate and potential future growth.
Absolutely. It was an amazing game. We know how well Pakenham do with putting on their game day and the crowd that they have, but kudos to Westgate. They brought a lot of people over. They had their own chance, and they were fantastic.
Oh, it would have been a wild atmosphere, because I know Rob Roberts and the Pakenham crew would have been up and about in that grandstand, and Westgate are noisy themselves. So that would have been an amazing atmosphere. But this is why youth qualification series was so important, though, Ted. And we touch on it sometimes, and people ask, why do we do it? And how this Pakenham team should be getting an opportunity to get promoted. Under the old system, Westgate would go up, and Pakenham, bad luck, have another year. Pakenham deserve a crack.
They deserve a crack
to go up. They didn't go up this year. This is another opportunity in early next year. You've got something now to aim for and prepare for in February 2025. And this is the exact reason that it was so important we brought this in.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more. Another team that's gotten the win on the road was the Youth League 2 Women Bellarine Storm, getting the win over Western Port 70-56. I believe this was 1-5 after the regular season, Western Port finishing on top and Bellarine coming from fifth. So they had elimination games in every round of their final series. So congratulations to them. They were runners-up last year as they lost to Whittlesea at home. So amazing to see them come back, fighting back again. Lucy Howard with the MVP, finishing with 23 points for the game.
This is the one we talked about last week as being it's been a flip of the coin through this this competition. You know, it's easy to, first to fifth, you're right, it's a huge run from Bellarine to make it to the final, but there's only three games separating first to fifth at the end of the season. It's been highly competitive. Any of those teams could have made it to the final, and Bellarine have done it the hard way, but yeah, huge achievement from the Storm. And am I right in saying that would be their, I think that might be their first championship, isn't it?
I believe so. I have to admit
I didn't do my research on that one, but I suspect that might be Bellarine's first youth championship title.
I think you're right. Their championship women were in the grand final last year when they were in Division 1 and lost to Warrnambool.
I just want to, when we talk about the importance of Big V, here we are with Bellarine, Pakenham, Westgate, Surf Coast have been in that mix. We're talking about a whole lot of new associations on the fringes of that metro country region.
I was going to say
Westgate.
That. I was going to say that, yeah.
We need our big dogs in Melbourne Metro to do some work, hey?
Our metros.
Metro has got to lift the act.
100%.
And we've got a bit of driving for D1, D2 grand finals that we've got going on this week too. So I'm going to...
we do.
Melbourne Metro, we've got some work to do.
Well, let's get started with our travelling in Division 1, man. We have... I don't think it's not really a neutral grand final, but it's not the regular home crowd and home venue that we would see. Is RMIT taking on Gippsland at Eltham High Saturday night, 7 o'clock.
I had one plea last week.
What's that?
I just put out one plea for the podcast, and it was one of Gippsland or Whittlesea, just somebody play some defense. I love the style they both play. But just someone play some D to complement their huge offensive styles, and you'll win.
Well, talk to me about these two games, because we had the 3rd of August where Gippsland got up 116 to 109.
In regulation.
And then we look at this one and 106 Gippsland to 72 Whittlesea. So something's definitely happened.
Something's changed. And I have to admit, I was on a family trip this weekend, that I didn't get to see the games. But... that Gippsland team has kept their offensive weaponry turned. It's kept on ticking over. Lowest score in a quarter of 22 gives you a fairly good indication scoring for them is not an issue.
No.
It's at the Whittlesea end where things went awry. And it certainly looks to me like Whittlesea didn't get the offensive rebound opportunities that they normally rely on. The Gippsland team cleaned up in that area. Shooting the ball at 35% and shooting the ball at just a tick under 30%. It's not terrible from the Whittlesea group compared to normal. It's a little lower than normal, but it's not horrendous and not the sole reason you lose. But the Gippsland team certainly tied it up and put their high intensity certainly worked, because that's the only glaring issue for Whittlesea. It'd be 21 turnovers,
yeah,
which again falls into the style of play they have, which is high run and gun style. You're going to get a few turnovers. It's certainly probably twice as much as what they would have liked.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we look forward to their grand final, RMIT versus Gippsland. RMIT got up 115 to 93 the last time they met, and that was the game to see who was going to progress straight into the grand final. Now, I want to quickly talk some matchups before we move on, because Steve Coffey's had another week off. So he's had another week to rest his body. So is Daniel Steen, Luis, Zach Coleman-Bock, Matt Spencer, who had a triple-double. They
love Josh Darcy O'Henry. Daniels as well.
They love Darcy Daniels. They got Jamie O'Henry. They got Josh Amy Hearn off the bench as well. They got all these guys. Where are these matchups coming from? Is it who's guarding Coffey? Is it going to be Jalen Wimbley or is it going to be Bambala? And then who's got Steen?
Here's the issue for Gippsland. I don't know what happened in the first quarter when they last played. It is not often do I look at a finals matchup, any matchup.
Yeah.
Not often do you look at a finals matchup and a team puts 42 points on in a quarter.
It's so concerning,
at
isn't it?
Quarter time, 42-15. Like, I don't care what you do after that. Your game is over.
Yeah.
Pack it up, walk out, and that was at Eltham High School.
I think you could lose all three quarters if you're on my team and still
you're still home. It doesn't matter what happens. In fact, Gippsland won the third and fourth quarters.
There you go.
But the game was done.
Didn't make a difference.
You need... It sounds ridiculous, but you need to contain Coffey. And watching some players try to play with him as he shifts the ball, as soon as he gets the defenders jumping left and right, he's got you on a string.
Well,
and
someone's
for it.
Someone's got to have scouted him. Someone's got to find a way. Like, do you sit on his... Do you sit on his right hip and push him inside the paint where he's probably just as good at facilitating as he is scoring?
Or? But I think you've got to force him to facilitate. I think you're trying to contain him one-on-one, but you're trying to sit on a hip and steer him one direction so your teammates have got an ability to work off that defensively.
So you're just playing heavy pack line, run him off the three and make him move it.
I think you've got to.
Yeah.
And Steve will sit here and listen and be laughing at the idea and the prospect. But
well, he probably is laughing because he's got Daniel Steen off.
Spot on.
He's got Steen in the corner. He's got Steen on the 45. Luis is a lob threat.
Well, this is why I don't coach, Ted. This is why I stopped.
Yeah.
But my thinking is your best bet at Gippsland is sit on a hip of Coffey and steer him one direction so the rest of your defensive unit has a concept of where he's going. Because the minute Coffey starts getting that on-ball defender jumping left and right, everybody else is reactive off that.
Mm.
And I'm a bit of a believer defensively, you want to be on the front foot, you want to have to be controlling the scenario. You're not controlling Coffey, but you've got to guide him in a direction. You've got to channel him in a direction and give yourself a chance to work off that.
I think being smart with your fouls is going to be a big thing as well. I've got this new sort of philosophy of there's no point in leaving a guy off that has four fouls in a grand final, almost any game for that matter, knowing that he could have played two more influential minutes. I think foul discipline and strategic fouls has got to be a role to play with how you're going to guard him.
We'll be all analysing Ted's games next year when they get four fouls and making sure he lives up to this new philosophy.
Are they going
to
stay on or not?
Yeah, we'll be watching.
It's interesting.
Let's be frank. Winner goes to championship next year.
Mm.
There's no ifs, buts or maybes. Win and you go up.
Yeah.
And I mean, these have been two of my little ones that I feel like they've been ones that I've been supporters of for several years, to be honest. RMIT, having watched them come from Div 2, as we saw Gippsland United start in D2, win in D2 very quickly, move into D1, and both of these clubs have moved their way up the ladder over recent years, and I'm excited. I remember talking only a couple of years ago, since I've been here at BV, about the prospect of one day Gippsland being in championship, and that then having the ability to have a Bellarine and a Shepparton and a Gippsland United all represented geographically in Victoria at the highest levels available, that would be an exciting thing. But RMIT also plays such an important role in that northern region for their students, but also basketballers at that level. It would be terrific to see them get there as well and how they've been able to do it and build over the last few years.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a thrill of a game no matter what happens. I think the build-up has been fantastic. I think the sort of neutral base that it's going to be at is going to be awesome. It's going to be incredibly packed, and we know the games that have occurred at Eltham High, that they're intense and it's loud and it's in your face. And you and I think, have experienced those games, and they live up to expectation.
I'm shattered I'm not going to this game. As you say, we've had battles ourselves at that venue, and when it's packed, it is absolutely rocking.
It is.
And knowing the RMIT crew, they love their closed-in, smaller stadiums. And Eltham High, I think we're all sitting here trying to find a way to get this into an even bigger venue to replicate, you know, but it's probably the right size for Gippsland and RMIT. I know Gippsland will bring a crowd. They'll bring something on the road, and this will certainly be noisy. Eltham High will be rocking. I can't step away, though, from the concept that RMIT is 16-2 record. They'd be averaging over the last 10 or 12 games well over 100 points a game. During the final series, in the last couple of games we've seen out of RMIT, they're averaging, from the back end of the season, they're averaging about 110 points a game.
Yeah.
Like, we sit here and you can mock whatever you like about how we're defending Steve Coffey and containing them, but that's every team has had trouble with this so far this year. And so I've got to lean towards RMIT, and I think most people would.
I think so. Let's move on to our Division 1 women here. We have a rematch of sorts, a game that a lot of people sort of predicted and sort of thought that these were the two that were going to be there. They were both undefeated in the first half of the regular season until they faced each other the round before the refixture. I think it was 13-0 or something like that before they versed each other. And
we
had a matchup again in the first round of finals to see who was going to progress through and make the grand final and host it. And Chelsea got up there 74-72, and now Warrandyte have fought their way back. So Chelsea are hosting, finishing second on the ladder. They're hosting the number one seed, Warren Tide.
Well, I'm still to figure out. This is one of the games that I might get to. Unfortunately, all four grand finals are on basically the same time.
But yep.
This is... I got out to their semi-final, Warrandyte-Chelsea, and I'll have you know, I copped a kick in the bum from the Warrandyte leadership regarding my decision that I thought Altona might be the smoky to get up and win. I copped a bit of a kick the bum via socials. I've been very supportive of the Venom this year. I think they've been an outstanding team. And to be honest, that was probably the result most expected. Warrandyte getting Altona. Credit to Randy Shanklin and his crew for the year they've had, but... These are the two teams. They've been from the Division 1-2 period to now, they've been the dominant sides. They've been the teams that most would pick. Kelly Foster's huge for Chelsea.
Yeah.
I haven't got a chance to watch Chelsea too much over the years, but having watched her in that final, she was outstanding. 28 points I think she got against Warrandyte in that matchup. I've said Bridget Keat again, I haven't got to see her coach very often. I was really impressed with how she handled the Chelsea team. Import went down injured early. And I thought she coached extremely well down the stretch. We know Warrandyte's got some significant strengths.
Mm.
The O'Niles, Powell, and Ellie Locke creating. And I thought Bridget and her crew did an outstanding job containing that in the semi-final. But Paul O'Brien is an ex-WNBL coach as well himself, and I have no doubt he will have new tactics that he'll be putting upon the ladies tonight, or maybe it was this morning. I think they trained Thursday mornings, the Warrandyte girls. So
yeah,
they'll have some new plans going into this weekend, no doubt.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we talk about trying to contain Coffee and Div 1 men. I think in Div 1 women, it's about who's containing Shannon Powell Ross. She played 40 minutes. She had 31, 12, 5 assists and 6 steals for the game. And her partner in crime, Emmy O'Neill, had 18 and 20 herself, and they still managed to lose by 2, so...
She's just one of those lefties that just keeps finding a way to get on the left hand.
Yeah, I think so.
There's just... You sit there, how do you know... To demonstrate the respect I'm talking about, it's a bit like players used to talk about Susie Backovich, and she was outstanding, and everyone knew she was going left. And the theory was you just sit on her left and take that away, but she'd always find a way, and she was a legend.
Did she just push the sideline out? It was just like, I'm going to go, you're going to force me right, that's fine, I'm going to get to my left, and I'm going to go left, and then more left. She's a NASCAR driver.
Yeah, I like it. I like that. NASCAR driver, I never thought we'd tie that into a Big V podcast. But no, Shannon Powell-Ross is tough. It'll be depending on the impact she can make this weekend against Chelsea. I think she'll be the one. Can she score and can she create for the likes of the O'Neill sisters to help Warrandyte in that grand final?
Absolutely. It's going to be a thrill of a game. It's going to be absolutely to see who's going to lock down who. If Emmy O'Neill gets over 20 points per game, if Shannon Powell-Ross continues to do what she does, Warrandyte are going to be incredibly tough. But I think Chelsea's defence and the disruptive they create with the likes of Fiona Darnell and Ferguson, even Taylor George, has serious impact in this team. I believe she was the one who was guarding Emmy O'Neill.
Yeah.
And she did an amazing job forcing catches outside the paint and making her put the ball on the floor and being super disruptive. So I think she's a big piece in what's going to happen on Saturday night.
No, good luck both teams. It will be a crack up. I'm hoping, that's one of three that I'm trying to figure out which one I'm going to, but that one should be a cracker.
Absolutely. Division, we'll go straight, we'll keep it with the women. Division 2 women, Wallen and Melbourne University. Wallen getting up in the first week of finals, taking down Surf Coast 73-66. Now hosting Melbourne Uni, who defeated Surf Coast 71-62.
Do you want to own this now, or do you want me to call you out? Which one are we going with here?
No, let's just move on straight away, I think.
If I remember this correctly, you were talking about the Melbourne Uni crew renting an Airbnb down at Torquay.
I reckon they did. They tagged me in a story, Hana. I saw it.
Well, I'm disappointed we haven't got a screenshot of that because you were suggesting that Melbourne Uni was going to Torquay for an enjoy your weekend. Like, go and play a basketball game. But go and rent an Airbnb and enjoy your night down there.
Well, they must have.
Well,
they did. They clearly did.
I feel for Surf Coast because my concern was they're listening and rest on their laurels, and this Melbourne Uni party group's going to chill out and they're just going to roll up for a basketball game. They did more than that. Melbourne Uni have come from the clouds. Let's not forget, 2 to 3 weeks ago, we're sitting here celebrating the victory on the buzzer just to make the playoffs.
Yes.
And here they are now in a grand final. Amazing job by Kyle Ogden and the Melbourne University girls. They had a change of coach midway through the season. Always a little bit, can be a little bit of a messy scenario, but they've come together and have put an absolute charge to finish this season.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we do underrate this team a little bit. Like, Marie Coburn played, I believe it was in the under-20s nationals at Ballarat at the start of this year. She played for New South Wales. You got Hana, who's played VYC women. She's also played championship women for McKinnon. You got Katie Harrington, who was some, I guess you can say, a development player in NBL 1 previously. They've got pieces. They do have pieces. And they've all, like, all three of those girls that I spoke of, they both got over double figures.
To a degree, I think we've got every right to have underestimated them.
Yeah.
They're 6-13 for the season. Now, I acknowledge a fair chunk of that is losing to probably all seven sides that are in Division 1.
I think that's a fair statement, yeah.
That still leaves you with a 6-6 record. And the two top sides in this division have been almost undefeated against everyone below them. So, Wallen, unlucky not to be in the final.
Surf Coast,
unlucky not to be in the final. But Melbourne Uni have certainly earned their way there and won all the right games and got themselves in a position. But we're certainly not writing them off this week, are we, Ted?
No, absolutely not. I mean,
Airbnbs aren't as good in Wallen as Torquay. Is that what we're...
I'm not going to speculate, but I do know that the Melbourne Uni girls are going to enjoy their night regardless of win or lose. I think they're just stoked to be in the final and stoked to be able to possibly get the chance to put a ring on. But look, it's going to be hard enough to be able to guard Kyla Collins and Olivia Dalmau. I think they're going to be incredibly tough. I don't know. I can't remember off the top of my head what the outcome was when they versed each other in that refixture, but... I'm going to take it. The one got the win.
That's right. They had a refixed game, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. So I think it's going to be tough for them to get the win. Wallen are definitely the team to beat in this Division 2 women competition.
You know, my concern. Yeah, Wallen are the raging favourites. Here's my. And, you know, you've touched on Kyla Collins. That first final that Wallen played, 22-22, she went. But it's heavily reliant on that starting five.
It is.
And Melbourne Uni, I'd argue, have that 6th, 7th, probably 8th player that can all contribute.
Yep.
And you just never know come grand final. You just never know how things are going to go grand final in regards to the calling of the whistle. And have Wallen. We've talked up a lot of clubs at different divisions that have invested heavily in their bench, and that comes to fruition at this time of year. And you just hope Wallen are going to have that if it's needed this weekend in their matchup against Melbourne Uni, because I feel like Melbourne Uni's got a bit more weaponry off the bench to make an impact.
Yeah. Look, we'll find out. We'll find out after...
And after last weekend, God knows you don't want to be playing home in the grand final, Ted. That's what we've learnt. So,
absolutely not.
But Wallen, I understand, sold out. They've got a couple of seats that they're dealing with, but at the end of the day, they are a lockout. So you can, again, we remind everybody, everything is live streamed.
Correct.
You'll have some outstanding commentary around the four games this weekend.
Yeah.
It should be, so no point driving out to Wallen if you haven't got a ticket. Stay home, get on your couch, put it on TV.
Enjoy. Absolutely. A team that has also done it hard, another Surf Coast team in Division 2 men who have made the grand final. They will be hosted by the Craigieburn Eagles, is Surf Coast playing on the Saturday night at 7 o'clock. This has been the most interesting of finals experiences as I've seen Surf Coast, as they had to make the trip to Mildura twice, on the 3rd of August and then the 17th. I feel terrible that they had to do it twice, and they did have to do it again during the season.
So they've done 3 trips to Mildura,
I think, the Chargers. I believe so.
They've
100% earned their way into this grand final.
I'm fairly sure this is Surf Coast's first grand final appearance at a senior level.
Yes.
And again, only having been with Big V competitions for a couple of years.
Yes.
And if I remember correctly, in their first year, it might have even been a 0-22 or a 1-21 type of season off the back of my mind. And that was on the back of an unsuccessful CBL season too. Mm-hmm. So they've certainly turned it around, Surf Coast. Yep. They're looking, Craigieburn, long-term club at this level, been D1, D2, been in and out, and have always been a strong, stable club within Big V competitions. But to see Surf Coast make this jump is really exciting, and congratulations to all the Chargers. I know it's not just the senior team that's been good. They've had their first ever VC team this year, an under-18 girls. Mm-hmm. They had some good results at the country championships. It's been a great year for them down at the Surf Coast Association. So congratulations to everyone involved.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, they've still got pieces that are coming through and willing to make an impact and will continue to make an impact. They got Harry Moran, who's a defensive player of the year nomination, I think, and I also think he's a youth player of the year nominee. Just a young kid. He had 9 points and 12 rebounds in his starting position last week in a win to make it to the grand final. So they've got...
Would he be the sister of Eloise Moran? Who's also with Sir... Now, I'm throwing this... I don't expect... Are they the family that used to be at Bulleen? I'm pretty sure they played at a good level in VJBL for Bulleen Juniors.
It's a good question. I don't know answer.
No. Sorry, I'm throwing you under the bus with that question. I didn't expect you, nor did we do any preparation. I just suggest they might be the Bulleen family that is... They've done a seaside move.
Well, look, if you're listening to it live, which you're not, call the Big V hotline and you can let us know.
Or maybe give
which
us
you
a
can't,
shout.
But we'll do our research and we'll find out, because now I'm eager.
There you go. I'm sure there's plenty like that. But
absolutely.
I do want to cover a few things here in regards to this game. So Craigieburn have gone 15-3, Surf Coast 11-7. Both teams defend the paint exceptionally well. They've given up only 34 points a game inside the paint, which ranks them second and third across the competition. And this is all information thanks to HoopsDB, the website. But I think this is the at this point of the year, it all becomes relevant, right, and where the strengths come from. It's at three-point range to me, which is where things get a little bit interesting. Craigieburn shoot the ball at 35% from the perimeter over the course of the season. That's even higher when they win. We're talking 37-38% when they win games. Surf Coast, though, across the course of the season, they have limited teams to only 28% from the three-point line. Now, you're sitting there saying, what's the difference, 9 or 10%? And when you shoot 35 attempts per game, as Craigieburn do, that's quite substantial.
Yeah.
Further to that, that percentage that Surf Coast keep teams from at three-point land drops to 25% in games that they win. Now we're talking about a differential of 14-15% between Craigieburn winning and Surf Coast winning in that three-point percentage. Now, you and I know, when you start talking 30, 35, 43 point attempts in a game, that 15% drop is substantial.
Yeah, significant.
And I'm not saying that decides the game, but I think it's a key stat. When you look over a course of a season, stats you get when you win, stats you have when you lose, that becomes quite a differential between these two clubs.
Well, it doesn't... I'll just touch on that, because it doesn't just impact makes and misses. That impacts defensive transition.
Yep.
It impacts, you know, the bounce of the ball, because you're shooting it from further away. So the way the ball bounces off the ring, it's going to be a longer rebound. And if you don't sweep the nail where 70% of the missed shots are going to go there, it completely impacts what's going to happen in the first 8 to 10 seconds down the other way. So if you continue to miss from three-point land, it's harder to play transition, because you're not matched up. You're going to have to turn and run, or you tag up or whatever.
Yep.
Whatever it is, it's that 15% makes it so much more impactful on the other side of the floor of how you're going to play defense or transition.
It's just often we look at this sort of stuff and the difference is 4 or 5%. There's not much to it. But that starts to become quite...
Yep.
And as you start to talk a bit more in depth about it, it becomes highly relevant. Mm. The other thing that it kind of stood out to me a little bit when I'm having a look at this sort of stuff... was the impact Surf Coast, the experienced import of Dexter Graham,
yep,
been around for a few years, Jason Reardon, who's a legend of Big V competitions,
100%.
And Tyler Erard. Now, between the three of them, we're talking 60 points a game. Now, they average 85 points a game as a team, and 60 are coming out of those three. The same three players make up 15 assists per game. So we're putting a huge weight. And I'm going to say the rest of the makeup of the team averages 4 or 5 assists per game. Mm-hmm. So it's a huge weight on three players. It's a big three if ever we've seen one at Division II men's competition. Craigieburn, to flip that, they've got 6 players who average more than 10 points per game. So between the 6 of them, they're averaging about 75 a match. It's quite substantial, that difference. Craigieburn have an additional six players, not additional. They've also got six players who make up 15 assists per game, the same as the three for Surf Coast. Now, what does that mean, really, in the scheme of things? I talked about depth before. That's the thing that just makes me nervous for Surf Coast. They've got three legitimate guns who have the scoring and talent to carry them to victory, yeah. No question. And they've done it all year. But if one of them's down, or if one of them's in foul trouble, or if one of who picks up the load? And in grand final, that's what concerns me. Because on the flip to that, Craigieburn, they're playing by committee.
Yeah.
Including general manager, just coming off the bench just quietly. Do you reckon the team... I don't mean to stir things up, but Jake, does he just tap the coach on the... Hey, mate, there's a bonus for you here. Anyway, side issue. Sorry, Jack. I don't mean to stir the pot there, mate. But Craigieburn have a greater spread. They've got a greater impact from a broader group. And that's the thing that leans me towards Craigieburn and held him in good stead all through 2024.
Yeah, super insightful, all of that. And I think it will show on Saturday night as to what actually happens. I think you're absolutely right. All of those things, the foul troubles, the possible injuries, knock on wood that no one does get injured, the impact that that does have with three players versus five or six, and even who's going to be that guy to come off the bench to have that spark. It's sort of been Bradley for Craigieburn. Is it Conrad Cooper for Surf Coast when he comes off the bench? Is it going to be someone else? I don't know who it's going to be, but I think you're right. I think that all is going to play a massive part. I think the home court advantage, which we've spoken about quite a bit already, is that even going to be impactful in any of these games this weekend? It's going to be a thrill of a game. Luane Grant is going to be stoked to even be there. He's a team player and he loves it. Always see him, you know, putting up his hand the second someone else shoots the ball, ready to celebrate. He's his team first, and he's stoked to be here.
No, it was that whole home court thing. It's been an interesting discussion here in the office. Even our intern for the media team, Jared, we were talking about this yesterday, and the benefits or the challenges of playing at home, and the idea of playing in front of your home crowd is so exciting, but it is also the pressures that come with doing it.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's almost easy to go in, underdogs fly under the radar at an away venue, no expectation, and have a crack. It's like a free hit sometimes. So, no, it'll be wild out there at Craigieburn on Saturday night. And, as I said a couple of times, this will be one of the three games I'm trying to figure out where I'm going as required. But it should be a very, very good game, Craigieburn Surf Coast.
Absolutely. Well, there's our four grand finals for Division 1 and 2 men and women. Now, we do have two more games this weekend, both on a Saturday night, both at Wyndham. We're going to keep touching on the home and away advantage because it didn't, and unfortunately it didn't work out for Wyndham as they had a doubleheader last week. Their men lost to McKinnon by, I think it was 2 points, and then it was Boleyn for the Cham women who got over the line 84-67 to Wyndham as well. So Wyndham got a second chance, 6 and 8 o'clock again at Eagles Stadium. The men have Keysborough, who I think you could probably say that they're rolling at the moment, and the Bellarine Storm, who lost to Boleyn round one. They defeated Pakenham on the weekend, and now they've got their chance to get there.
Shout out to Mason Rogers and the Boleyn crew. I didn't say it, but certainly I was insinuating it and leading into it, and you had every right to think that I'd written them off going into the playoffs. They to me were the third side, and maybe they're going to fall to fourth by the end of the finals period, but they're the final specialists. They got up and got it done last year in the grand final, and they're collecting the wins they need to get now. And here they are. They're already preparing down at Dandenong Stadium for the grand final night. So congratulations to Mason and his crew. They've returned a core group out of last year, only very minor changes from last year's team. But to have won that against Wyndham, nobody would have picked that, I wouldn't have thought. But an outstanding defensive display from Boleyn. We talked about that being OVD and the two very different styles. And the Boleyn one has won again at the right time of year. We've talked up Pakenham and the Shock, their work to get to where they did in the final four. Outstanding. Seeing Rob Dealmans is stepping away from the team next year, which is disappointing, but hopefully he goes on to bigger and better things. But Bellarine probably got the result we would have expected.
Yeah.
But they have defeated Wyndham before.
They have.
And they'll roll into Eagle on Saturday night with their tails up, thinking they're a red-hot chance to make it to their first championship-level grand final.
Yeah, 100%. Look, I think the scout is going to be very important for this. I think Bulleen did a fantastic job of scouting this Wyndham unit on the weekend that was. I think they did a fantastic job of making other people do something apart from Amanda.
Yep.
They packed the paint really well. There were countless possessions where she just sort of found herself dribbling the ball just inside the three or just outside the three and not really sure what to do because there was just blue bodies everywhere.
Yeah.
And she couldn't have that impactfulness that she normally would. So I think for Bellarine, that scout is super important to see what they can take away and force other players of this Wyndham unit to either step up and make their mark and get themselves through or put them in a position where, you know, Amanda's going to have to try and do a little bit too much and it's going to be detrimental.
Yeah, agreed. And we talked about Bulleen being a force defensively.
Yeah.
Well, guess who's ranked number two defensively in championship women's competition?
Oh, I don't want to know.
Bellarine.
There you go.
Now, don't get me wrong, Wyndham's not far off it, but there is a clear gap between the number one and two defensive teams in the competition as points per game compared to third place. And when Bulleen averaged 63 points a game against them, Bellarine averaged 64. So if there's another coach and another lineup with the tactical genius at the defensive end, it's going to be Tim and his crew.
Yeah.
We know Jared's got a terrific team and he's a terrific coach himself.
Yeah, incredibly capable.
Their record of 70-7 or something over the course of 3 years has stood the test of time, but this will be a much, much better game than what we probably would have anticipated 6 months ago.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. I want both of these teams to win just as much as I'm happy for Bulleen to make the final, the grand final. I'm excited to see what the outcome is. I think it's going to be incredibly close. I don't see it being a blowout by any means.
To Jared's positive for Jared. Jared's wanted this competition to be stronger. He's been one of the people that's been pushing.
Yeah, he's pushed.
We want more competition in this division, and we've got it. I just want to give, as much as Jared's done a really good job with his crew and the Wyndham team have done well, and he's stepping away from that at the end of this season, he's been a big promoter of this competition, and I want to recognise that. But also, big shout-out, the likes of the Pakenhams, the Sherbrookes, the Bellarines. Bulleen's been there for a couple of years now, but with the competition, the standard at this competition has increased significantly in 2 years. And I just want to say a big shout out to all of our teams involved in this competition. Thank you and well done. It made a much, much better season this year than what we've seen in recent times. So congratulations to everyone involved.
Yeah, 100%. Seconded from my part as well. The championship, men, our last game, which we'll quickly touch on. Wyndham again at home with Keysborough coming all the way to Eagle Stadium. Now they defeated Shepparton 91-65.
They got done.
They did get done by a substantial margin. Keysborough are rolling at the moment. They're a team, I think I said in the podcast either last week or the week before, that they're not a team to string losses together. They retaliate and they bounce back very quickly.
That makes up for your Torquay comments.
It does. Thank you. Thank you very much. But Wyndham are the exact same. This is two teams that have some serious offensive dominant players. They've got guys who can play above the rim. They've got guys who can facilitate really well. They've both got young talent who are impactful, like Oscar Jones for Wyndham, who can create his own shot just as good as the guys in every other team and even in MBL1. He's got a very, very bright future. Choice has been impactful for Wyndham, probably not the MVP caliber that we've seen in previous years, but he's been impressive. Atomi's been amazing, but on the other end, Keysborough, they've got AJ Williams, who's spent time in MBL1. They've got Jared Newby, who's been in championship for a number of years now. They've both got these serious pieces, this is going to be massive.
It is going to be a highly entertaining matchup between these two sides. They've got pieces that are it makes for a classic preliminary final.
Yeah.
I know we gave McKinnon a bit of a shout out last week, but they've gone another step now. A whole new look group compared to the one that won the championship in 2023. They've done it. They're like a new group, a new team, and Adam Walsh has done a great job with them to get them to the final. So congratulations to the McKinnon Cougars going for back-to-back titles. But Keysborough is the one that we talk about. We just seem to talk about a few clubs that have been progressing through the ranks, and Keysborough is a great example of that. They were D2 not so long ago. I think back 9-10 years ago, they jumped to D1 when they weren't ready and fell back to D2 and copped a lot of grief for that. But this time they've done it the right way.
Yeah.
And they've built through the ranks. They've been in championship for a couple of years now, started middle to lower end, got to be in a middle team, and now they're in the contention. And whatever happens this Saturday night, Wyndham are the established team at this level. Keysborough are the new challengers. It will be a highly intense, high-intensity game. It will be very, very well coached. Nathan and Lucas, two outstanding coaches at this level, with two great lineups.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's going to be super exciting. Just as much as we are going to talk about the grand finals, this is a massive doubleheader over at Eagle Stadium. So if you don't know where to go, if you're not as interested in Division One, just be sure that if you are close or you're willing to go or you want to watch some more games live streamed, these are two more games that are going to be live streamed. So be sure to jump on a BV website, find your game you want to watch, because it's going to be a thriller of a weekend.
100%. This Absolutely. Is the time of year we're all involved for, Ted. This is a big weekend. It should be plenty of exciting games right around the state.
100%. That'll be all for us on our Big V podcast. Keep it locked. Division 1 and 2 grand finals all on Saturday night. We'll catch you next week.
Thank you.